This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Again, hour two of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Sweezo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy, it is a promise. Sweezo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back, both on and off the job site. Apply at Sweezo.com. 40 years strong in business. Sweezo Construction. Again, that's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W, Sweezo.com. Also, as you know, it is the noon hour, and that means lunchtime. The lunch hour of Adam Carriker on the Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue. Now with two numero dos locations at 11th and Cornhusker, at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible size. Get fuel for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Again, reminder, Jake and I will be on location. The next time I get a look at Jake's wonderful face will be Friday on location at Mulberry Barbecues. Now, I forgot to point out one thing before we move on and discuss Emmett Johnson just a smidge. Did you know that at 245, 250 pounds, 6'5", Heinrich Harburg runs an 11.1 second 100-meter dash? Now, to be elite, you got to be like in the tens, like world records, like 9.59, which is Usain Bolt. You look up guys that are in that category, they're like under 200 pounds. So when you start stacking on, you know, 50, 60 pounds, running an 11.1, pretty freaking impressive. There aren't a whole lot of tight ends that can do that. All right, my man, let's look at Emmett. And I did some quick math. So Emmett Johnson is a guy very well liked by the fans, very well liked by his teammates. I've always saw similarities in him, in a way, maybe a roundabout way, but a way to myself. I always felt overlooked. I always felt, you know, overlooked. I'll just leave it at that when I first got here. And it really wasn't until, honestly, the new staff came in and that winter conditioning. I'll never forget my D-line coach was like, because we had Bernard, was going to start at one end, but we needed another end to start at the other end. And there was two of us sophomores. And the D-line coach said, first practice, spring practice, the number one defense goes out there, you're the right end. And that didn't mean I had the position. It meant I was on their radar to be a starter. And I always felt up until then definitely overlooked. Right, unright, wrong, whatever the case may be. You look at Emmett. Fourth string ends up starting the last half of the season as a freshman and plays really well. You would have thought coming back last year, he would definitely be one of our top two backs, maybe the starter, whatever the case may be. Did you feel like he was one of the top two backs the first half of the season or two-thirds of the season until Holgorsen got here?
Yeah, it seemed to be the case, yeah.
You thought he was one of the top two backs?
I think everybody on the station except for Terrell was trying to get him more playing time.
Well, okay, let me restate that. Not who you thought the two best backs were, who you perceive the two backs that were getting the most play time were is what I meant. Is that clear?
Well, it was tough because that was the argument is because there was games where the Illinois game, he didn't even get a carry. And you're just kind of like, I feel like he's, you know, and I think it was the early game. It was, you know, he broke off one late last year in a game early. And it was like, well, maybe that was the type of competition they were playing at that time. So they didn't like carry it over to the next game. But yeah, I mean, from a lot of people, it just looked like he was the guy that probably deserved more carries.
So in a way, I've kind of always felt a little bit similar to Emmett in the fact that maybe overlooked to a degree or however you want to phrase that. Now coming into this year, this is the guy who is projected to be the guy. The one concern that I mentioned, I'm not alone in this, what's that running back room look like depth-wise beyond him? We know the coaches like Quentin Ives. I mean, we're going on 2, maybe 3 years now of, I can't think of another player on the team that's been randomly brought up from time to time in press conferences over the past couple of the years, more often by Matt Rhule than Quentin Ives. I can't think of another guy on the team. Maybe there is, but he's not popping in my head. You've got Mekhi Nelson, freshman Jeremiah Parker. You got some of these guys. Obviously, Connor Booth is coming in, true freshman as well. He's more of a power back. All right, out of Wahoo there. So what's the depth look like? Who is clear-cut number two? Is there a clear-cut number two? Who's number three? What does it look like? We've said a bunch of times you got to have at least three backs because you got to have a rotation. What if one of them gets banged up? You still need two, which takes three that you really trust. So that's the concern. So the question is, how do we get Emmett the ball? How do we utilize his skill set? But how do we manage the workload? And we talked about that a little bit earlier with getting the ball to Harburg and Key and Hunter and Barney and whoever else you want to get it to. Lindenmeyer, who else? Whoever else, other running backs in there as well. When I look at Emmett, this is a guy that I watch, and I'm like, he can do everything pretty well. Blazing top-end speed, maybe not, but good. Is there, because I can go through agility, I can go through vision. I think vision and balance are two of his biggest strengths. And I think it's one of the reasons he's overlooked because you can't measure that. There's no way to measure your vision or your balance. You can measure a 40. You can measure your 20-yard shuttle and agility. You can measure your vert, which in a way is supposed to translate to your explosiveness. And it does, to a degree at least. I think a lot of the things that he does really well, like he's got good speed, he's got good agility, he's got a lot of things he's good at. I don't know if there's any one thing you point at and you're like, oh, it just blows you off the map. But I think part of that is because he's good at everything. I don't see gigantic holes in his game. Even his pass protection, is improved, and he's reliable in that department as well. You got Isaiah Mosey again, seems to have moved to running back. I don't know if anything's been confirmed yet. And, you know, you could see, is that a concerning thing? I do think they went after the back in the portal for a reason, Jamar Brown. I do think they have moved Mosey to running back for a reason. Is it concerning? I don't think the C word concerning is necessary. I think there's a reason, though. I think there's a reason they did it. I think that's a fair thing to say. With Emmett, I think he's got the ability to do everything well. I'm not saying he's great at everything. I just don't see any big holes in his game. And two of the things he does the best, which are vision and balance, you can't really measure those. And I think it's part of the reason he isn't talked about more. You see these preseason running back rankings for the Big Ten and for the country. He's on the Big Ten list. I don't think he was even in the top 15 running backs in the Big Ten. Penn State had 1 and 2, by the way. I don't even think he was in the top 15 on the last list I saw, which I about fell over. I was like, really? Not even, what? That was surprising to me. This is a guy who should have 1,000 yards rushing. This is a guy who could have, depending on how many games we play, all right, up to 1,500 total yards, which would be 500 yards receiving, which would be a lot. So maybe 1,250 total yards this year is very reasonable for a guy like that. And then he's getting the ball, utilizing his skill set, but hopefully you're not putting too much so you can manage the load just a little bit, because he is the one clear proven running back that you have, and you wait and see how some of the other talented guys do as the season unfolds. And I even did some math for him to average 1,000 yards. It's 83.33333 yards per game. So assuming he misses no games, he basically needs to average almost 84 yards rushing per game, which seems very reasonable for me. And we want to average as a team, you and I talked about, 150 rushing yards a game. So in order for that to happen, I think he would have to average over 90 rushing yards per game, which I do think is feasible, which would put him closer to 1,200 rushing yards. And maybe if he has 200-300 yards receiving, which he had around 250 last year, which a majority came after Holgorsen became the OC in the USC game, he had almost 250 yards a year ago in much less time on the field, much less reps on the field. There is a world where he could have 1,500 total yards of offense. It's not too much on the plate as far as managing the load until we learn more about the other guys who are in that room as well as the season unfolds. And I think Emmett Johnson can really, really shine, because I'm just like, you don't even have him in certain places on these preseason lists within the Big Ten, let alone nationally, and he's just being overlooked. And to a degree, I felt like he was overlooked the first couple of years here, which is why I've always been partial to him, because I felt that way to a degree as well. And so for me, I think this is a guy that's just going to shine this season. Again, I'm not projecting anyone on this team to or to not be an All-American. There's guys with the talent. There's guys with all-conference type talent. There's guys with second and third string not second and third string, but second and third team, all conference type talent. There's guys who are just really, really good football players, regardless of postseason recognition. And he is one of those guys that I believe will be in those conversations at the end of the year. It's just how deep does that conversation go? Can we make sure he gets through the whole year healthy? And this is a guy I think is going to shine and finally get his just due. He's gotten it a little bit, you know, entered the portal, got him to come back. And I think that brought some attention and eyeballs to him that frankly was deserved at that point. But now going forward, hopefully that is focused on what he does on the field, because I think that's where he's really going to shine this upcoming season.
Yeah, I still look at him, too, as Nebraska. Until they find a guy or somebody proves otherwise, he's their big play threat. And to your point, he might not have the top-end speed to make it, you know, 60, 70 yards. I mean, but you look at just about every game he played in, he's getting, you know, plays over 20 yards. And Nebraska just doesn't have a whole lot of guys that were doing that routinely last year. So I think that's a big part of it. And also to your point, 23 of the 39 receptions he had last year were in those final four games. So again, his usage rate went up considerably once they made the change at offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of excitement in potential within him, and it's almost like they're finally, instead of saying, okay, well, this guy can do this better, or this guy maybe can do that better, maybe there's more potential there, it's just take your jack of all trades in Emmett Johnson and use him for what he is. And hopefully, if there are some other pieces that step up, then maybe he can break those out a little bit more. We'll have to see. As far as preseason recognition, maybe part of that, and we know how it was. He wasn't the big back. The big back got the goal line carries. He only had one rushing touchdown last year, mm-hmm. three total. So I think that kind of holds him back on all of these preseason.
Well, we talked about, you know, Dylan Raiola. There's high expectations in Nebraska for him. But last week we talked about nationally, maybe not as much. Part of that, more expectations comes with more wins. So we got to get those wins if you want the postseason recognition. And if you're interested, like we are, when you got a show like this, projecting into the next college football season, the preseason expectations, so to speak. All right, is there anything off the text line before we go to break there, Jake?
26260 says Emmett was definitely underutilized last year. That coming from Wyoming Husker. You know, one other thought that I have here is just kind of thinking the comfortability of this is it's not just if you have one backup, right? Is because I keep going back to, this is the same staff, same running back, same head running back coach, same head coach that 2 years ago lost two players on the same day, your top two running backs. So mm-hmm. it's almost not just like you need one or you need one good backup. You know, you do need to kind of have a few of them because the injury bug can certainly strike. And hopefully that doesn't happen. The other thing, though, is I think, and this is just a Nebraska thing, but the last time I had some high hopes for a running back coming off a positive season, they haven't turned out great, right? Anthony Grant coming off that almost 1,000-yard season. New coaching staff wasn't the same. I think back to Dedrick Mills. Looked like he was really going to start taking off going into his senior season. Didn't quite happen. So hopefully we're due.
Well, there's no hopefully about it. We are definitely due. Excuse me. We are definitely due. One thing I do like, everybody gets wowed by the big plays and the top-end speed, but I would go to Donovan Edwards of Michigan last year, a five-star recruit coming out of high school, a guy who had noticeably better speed than Blake Corum. Blake Corum graduates. Donovan's supposed to be the guy. He didn't even start last year. I don't know why. I don't know enough about the situation. What I know is he has phenomenal top-end speed. He showed it several times while he was Blake's backup, even when he started when Blake got hurt his knee. But when it came time for him to be the guy, despite that, he wasn't the guy. So there's something that goes into being a running back beyond just top-end amazing speed. And those are some of the intangibles that I see in Emmett. You talk about his ability to get 20 yards. If somebody said, hey, could you have a guy that can take the top off? Would you rather have a guy that can take a top off a defense with 60, 70, 80-yard plays? But he only does it once every, I don't want to say only, but like, you know, once every other game or something. Or would you rather have a guy that has a knack for turning a 5-yard run into a 10-yard run and a 10-yard run, like you said, into a 15-yard run or a 10-yard reception into a 20-yard reception and consistently makes an impact, consistently affects the defense, and consistently is moving the chains? I would take that guy, and that guy to me is Emmett Johnson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.